بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله. الله سبحانه وتعالى has blessed us and enabled us to perform our third night's Taraweeh and to complete our second day's fast for the month of Ramadan in the year 1439. We've completed the entire Surah Al-Baqarah last night, Alhamdulillah. And we recited until the end of Surah Ali Imran tonight, Alhamdulillah. And I want to say to whoever's here, especially those who may not understand what is being recited, may Allah reward you even more. Your niyyah is to understand the Quran. Your niyyah is to continue your journey in your relationship with the Holy Quran. Bit by bit, every step counts. But to stand here, 20 raka'at, to listen to a juz and quarter, and to stand humbly, it requires a lot of self-control. It requires the individual to subdue his or her nafs. Because so easily you could leave. You are not accountable to anyone but Allah. And you've chosen to stand. You've chosen to stand for Allah's sake. And even though the mind might wander from time to time, but every takbir, with every ruku' or every sujood, reminds us that Allahu Akbar, and I'm in need of Allah's aid. I'm in need of Allah's help. I'm in need of Allah's pleasure, and I'm doing this so I can gain more closeness to Him. I'm doing this so I can develop in my taqwa. So I commend you all, and I make dua Allah accepts every raka'ah and every moment you spent in salah. Self-control is what we are trying to work at and trying to work on in Ramadan. Self-controlling of the self. Of the verses we recited tonight, we've come across the verses that deal with the battle of Badr. Deal with the battle of Badr. Hafiz Amanullah Muhammad, he recited those verses where Allah says, وَلَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرٍ وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّ. Indeed, Allah had helped you all at Badr whilst you were the undermined ones. You were the less in number and you were overlooked by the Quraysh. Allah had helped. Now, I would love for tonight to convey to you a narrative of one of the Sahaba who is noted amongst the Badris. A Badri is a Sahabi who was with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The numbered 313, 300 odd. There's one Sahabi in the list. But what would you do if I told you he's in the list, but he was not on the battlefield? He was on his way with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the rest of the Sahaba to Badr, and somehow he fell with his horse, and his horse fell on his leg. He broke his leg, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had him sent back to Medina because he would be a liability now on the battlefield. But the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after the battle and booty was gained, the Nabi assigned a portion for him as well because he would have been there. So he's listed amongst the Badris. So his niyyah was there. His name, and we're going to at least say once, radiallahu anhu, because we never hear his name. His name is uncommon. I don't even know if the Arabs give this name to their children. His name was Khawwat. Khawwat bin Jubair, radiallahu anhu. Not Zubair, Jubair. His father's name was Jubair. Khawwat ibn Jubair radiallahu anhu. So he narrates, we're speaking about self-control, right? He narrates a few years after Badr, he managed to go on an expedition with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And on their return, there's about 1 day's journey left for Medina. But the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam decides, no, we're going to set up camp tonight here, rest, regain our strength, and early in the morning after Fajr and some breakfast, we're going to move to Medina. So he says they all make their small tents, and everyone settles in now. And he says, I come out of my tent, and where we had set up camp was near to a small Bedouin village. And he says, I come out, and I notice a campfire, and this woman sitting around the campfire. Some woman of the village. And he says, A'jabnani. They impressed me. I was intrigued by them. So I went into my tent, I changed my garb to something lighter, and I went out and I sat and chatted there with them. I chatted with them. So he says, of all the people that could come out and see me, only Rasulullah came out. He came out and he saw me sitting there. And Khawat's kunya was Abu Abdullah. So he said, the Nabi Muhammad comes to me and says, Ya Abu Abdullah, ma ajlasaka ma'ahun. Oh, Abu Abdullah, Khawat, what made you sit there with him? He says, Khiftu. I said, I got a fright. Wahibtu. I was in awe. Wahtalattu. And I confused information. I said the first thing that came to my mind, I said, Sharada Jamali, فَطَلَبْتُ مِنْهُنَّ قَيْدًا. So one of my camels ran away and I'm looking for a rope from them. Sahabi, he says this happened. But he conveys this to us because it's a lesson for us. Listen. He says the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not answer. He smiled and he turned around and he, Khawad, says, without me realizing what I'm doing, I started walking behind him. And he enters his tent and I enter his tent with him. And he turns around and he sees me and he gives me his shawl to hold. The Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he takes a fresh wudu. He says the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turns around and I can still remember the drops in his beard. And I give the shawl to him without saying a word. And he says to me, Ma fa'ala shirad jamalik. So what happened to your camel that ran away? He says, I did not say a word. I got red in the face. I knew that he knew there was no camel. And I retreated from his tent and I went to my tent and it was the longest night of my life. Because tomorrow morning, Mutikviyadi Rasul Sin, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Fajr is made and breakfast and we're riding. And she says, Allah will hear. As we're riding now to Medina, thrice, my horse aligns with Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's horse. And whenever he sees me, he says, Assalamu alaikum, Abu Abdullah. Ma fa'ala shirad jamalik. Assalamu alaikum, Abu Abdullah. What happened to your camel that ran away? And I speed. He says, so in the end, I started riding faster than them. And I left the whole battalion behind. And I enter Medina before them. But now for about 3-4 days, I avoid salah with jama'ah. I'm in the back. Because I don't want him to see me. But he was a Ansari. He was from Medina. And he was from those who helped build the Masjid al-Nabawi. So he says, after a few days, my heart starts yearning for the Masjid. And I time myself. Because now I was in a turmoil. I wanted to go to the Masjid, but I didn't want to have the embarrassment of not having to face him. But the question, listen to me. The question that Rasulullah posed to me took a whole other meaning. Because he knew by now there's no camel. The camel now that he was referring to was the camel of my nafs. I allowed the camel of my nafs to run free with me. I just saw the woman and then I, ajabnani, they impressed me and I went to sit by them without thinking of consequences, without thinking that there's no time for this, without thinking that someone could think something wrong and it could be bad for my nafs. I can't just allow my nafs to run away with me. I must reel it in, see? So now he says, I yearn for the masjid. And I time well. I go to the masjid in a time where it's not a jama'ah salah and only a few sahaba sitting there scattered. So he says, I start making 2 sunnah raka'ah. And in my outer vision, my periphery, I see a man approaching. And by his size and by his walk, the style of his walk, the mishya, it could only be Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of all the places you could have gone to make sunnah, he comes stands next to me and he also makes sunnah. And he says, Khawad says, in my salah, I tell myself, ikhanu langstan. And Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam finishes before me and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam addresses me in salah. He says, Ya Aba Abdullah, tawwil ma shi'ta anta tawwil. Make as long as you wish, I'm going to sit here until you are done. Can you imagine the Rahman al-Alameen in Medina came after other expeditions and there are thousands of Sahaba in Medina and he has time for the tarbiyah, for the rearing of one Sahabi. And this Sahabi, as a human as he was, like us, wasn't a big thing that he did, but he learned. I can't just run by what I feel to do. Pops up in my head and I just want to do it. No, and Ramadan teaches me about control, self-control. So he realizes, I have to face Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I complete the salah. And I turn to him. And he takes my hand and he says, Assalamu alaikum, Abu Abdullah, ma fa'ala shiradu jamalik. Assalamu alaikum, Abu Abdullah, tell me now what happened to your camel that ran away. And he says, Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ya Rasulullah, ma sharada jamali mundu an aslam. He says, my camel also offered submission to Allah. My camel also accepted Islam, and since then it hasn't run away. He said, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam took my hand and said thrice, Rahimakallah, Rahimakallah, Rahimakallah. May Allah have mercy on you. May Allah have mercy on you. May Allah have mercy on you. He left and he never asked me that question again. It was about attention for each other. It's about attention to our states, our inner states. Being conscious of our do's and our don'ts. Before we act, thinking. Before we utter, thinking. Before we involve ourselves, thinking. And that, in essence, is Allah consciousness. Because it's about pleasing Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not pleasing the self. Not pleasing the self. We're living in a time where it's all about self-indulgence. We're living in a time where it's about self-gratification. We're living in a time where it's about instant gratification, almost instant gratification. Yeah, you stood for 20 raka'at, more than an hour from the Isha, hour and a half, for Allah's sake. Another person who's involved in this dunya and who thinks only about dunya we gain, will look at you and think that you are wasting your time. But you understand that there's a greater purpose to your existence. You understand that there's a greater purpose to your space and your time here. And everything you do here for Allah's sake counts. Everything you do here for the dunya's sake stops by the dunya. It will not go with you. And you want to become a better person. You know that this dunya will never satisfy. This dunya will never ever satisfy. More than that, people become worse when they start fighting for this dunya. But when people compete, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ, when they compete in doing more good deeds, they become better people. Friends on that day may become enemies, Allah says. But friends who are friends for taqwa, friends who are friends for God consciousness, and spur each other on to be better people, those friendships will last in the akhirah as well. الْأَخِلَّاءُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. Those are not my words, those are Allah's words. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make us friends for His sake. May Allah make us friends based on taqwa, based on God consciousness. And may we be of those who develop the self-constraint, develop the self-control, develop the strength of character and purpose to such an extent in Ramadan that we train ourselves that ameen, beyond the month we also become stronger and disciplined and more principled people. Ameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallim wa barik ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamun ala al-mursaleen. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. This is one small announcement. Burhanul asked us to announce that the Buka Treats has been printed and launched, and it's available at the caretaker, by the caretaker, Haji Ahmed Kamal, if anyone is interested, inshaAllah. Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.